Too sick and morning. Good morning, everyone. Isn't it great to come and to worship together and to share together and be in fellowship together and catch up on what's happened in the week? And it's good as we come. It's an exciting morning. Lots happening. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
You are. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
That's more like it. It's a wonderful morning. We're going to have the pleasure and privilege of bringing Marjorie into membership. And after that, later, we'll gather around our Lord's table and share communion together. And we'll share around the other table and share a roast together. and also find out what the Lord has to say to us. And as we've been thinking about praying like Jesus and thinking about what it means to align our requests with God's will, when we think about praying our Father, bringing us into a relationship with God, taking the focus from ourselves to God and to others, that the glory would go to Him. Last week we thought about hallowed be thy name. Again, how we need to give God the glory and the honour that His name deserves. And this week, as we pray, thy kingdom come, if we pray with conviction and with trust, the power of God is unleashed into this world. So some words from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And those words that have started to become more and more familiar. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Fantastic words as we start to think about what it means for God's kingdom to come on earth. Let's join together and sing number 59, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Oh,
Let's continue our song as we come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning in this lovely day that you have created, a day with opportunities to love you more and to serve you more, to find out more about your love and your compassion for the world that you created. We thank you that we can know you through your creation, that we can understand more about you through your holy word, and that we know how to live godly lives through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live life on earth. We thank you for Jesus and all that he has done for each one of us. We thank you that we have a reason to come together this morning and to praise you and to worship you. We thank you that through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, for all those who come to you in faith, that you promise new life, life of peace and hope, life of abundance, because we have the full power of heaven working inside us. Lord, we know sometimes that perhaps we don't live those lives. Sometimes we feel lots of worry and anxiety. We feel lost and alone. That we perhaps say and do things that don't represent who you are, and therefore people would not recognize you in our lives. Lord, we're sorry for those times when we don't speak the words that you give us, or show love to our neighbour in the way that you would. But Lord, we know that we are still only human and that we make mistakes. And Lord, that we pray that we would learn from those mistakes and try and live the life that you have showed us. But we thank you, Lord, for those words that tell us that you are compassionate, you are merciful, and that when we come to you in repentance, Lord, that you will show us your way. You will forgive us. You will love us. You will put us back on the right path. And Lord, we thank and praise your holy name for that. Lord, as we look upon your world and we think about those words, thy kingdom come, we realize, Lord, that the world is so far away from our understanding of those words. Lord, we continue to pray for Israel and for Gaza and the war that is going on there. Lord, we pray in despair. We pray perhaps in fear for what's to come as other nations perhaps think they need to get involved. But most of all, Lord, we pray for those innocent people whose lives have been disrupted forever. We pray, Lord, for those who will bring in the aid, for those, Lord, who will seek peace instead of war. Lord, may they be followers of you and your word of peace, your word of love, your word of hope. Lord, we continue to pray for the Ukraine and all that's going on there. Lord, there's so many nations that are at war or have things going on that you know that we could be here all morning, Lord, just praying for them. And yet, Lord, we come with that confidence that you have the whole world in the palm of your hand and that your timing is perfect. And we look forward to that time, Lord, when your kingdom will reign, when peace will be a reality, when our hopes will be fulfilled, when love will fill the nations again. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to understand more about you, more about our place in your kingdom, plans and purposes. But Lord, we don't do any of this in our own strength. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we give you honor and thanks and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I said at the start of the service, it's my pleasure and privilege to bring Marjorie into membership this morning. Bolt the doors, Joy. And I always ask the question, why become a member of the church? Why become a member of this church? And when we make that commitment, it means that we believe. And we believe, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's the beautiful promise and the words that we hold our faith on. And by personally accepting Christ as Saviour and as Lord, a believer automatically becomes a member of God's kingdom and his church universal. The Holy Spirit abides within a believer and the transformation begins. And to be considered for membership into a local church, I always ask the person to witness and testify to the work done in their lives, as Marjorie will share with us shortly. Membership says that we belong here, called to be God's family in this place. We share the same ministry goals. We accept responsibility for a group of fellow believers in the family of God. We have responsibility for one another. Thank God he's helping us out. And that we're accountable to our mature sisters and brothers in Christ for our walk with God. And that we too have a responsibility for how things are done here. Every member has a say in shaping the direction and ministry goals of our church. And as I always say, if anyone feels called to membership after today's service, then please come and speak to me. So I'll ask Marjorie if she'll come and share her story with us. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, I am Marjorie Taylor, and I'm a Yorkshire lass born and bred. Both my parents were staunch Methodists, so I was taken to Sunday school from a very early age and progressed through primary and junior departments, followed by youth club. I was made a member of the Methodist Church at 18 and became a Sunday school teacher and sang in the church choir. I was married in 1958 to a fellow Methodist from the same church, and we had two daughters. All was going well until the late 60s, when we had to move down south for my husband's job. People who really know me know that I am a very shy person who finds it very difficult to speak to people. So this was my worst nightmare. Firstly, we moved to Upminster in Essex, but we managed to find a Methodist church and we were very happy there. In the 70s, we moved again to Loudwater and joined St. Peter's Church because there wasn't a Methodist church there. And in 1980, we moved back to Yorkshire, but to a different area. And I spent nearly 40 wonderful years worshipping and working in the Methodist Church at Clifton. Sadly, my husband died 27 years ago last month. So I have been on my own for a long time. But my faith, the church, and Inner Wheel have been my rock. When it was decided that I should move to Haslemere to be nearer my daughters, I was determined to find a Methodist church. But God had other ideas, and he led me to being here in this church. I'm glad that he did, as this is such a warm and welcoming and friendly church. And I thank you all for your warm welcome here. In my late teens and early 20s, a friend and I used to go each year to Kent College in Canterbury to a missionary event. At the end of each day, there was a service, and it always finished with the same hymn. And to be in a hall full of young adults singing this hymn sent shivers down my spine. It's only a short hymn, two verses with four lines in each, but the words mean so much, and it has stuck with me to this very day. It's not in our mission praise, but I think, and Nigel has managed to find it for me, it is, this is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come.
Thank you, Marjorie. Don't be put off. I do say that if you don't want to come up, I will read it. So if anyone else ever wants to come into membership, don't panic. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are about to receive into the full privilege and responsibilities of the church, Marjorie Taylor, into membership. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of your church here on earth. We thank you that we have unity through Jesus Christ, between each other and with yourself. We thank you that we have been saved with the precious blood of Christ. We pray for Marjorie, who has to be received into the full membership here of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help her to live her life according to the high calling in Christ and fill her with full assurance of faith. Bless each one of us and give us your grace in ever-increasing measure. May we always endeavour to be obedient to your word and give glory to your name, in and through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'll ask Nigel or two if he will come forward as the chair of our trustees, and if Marjorie, if you'd like to come and stand. And so it is with absolute joy to share this moment with you as you profess your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ anew and accept the privileges and responsibilities of membership of his church, and also to continue to journey alongside you in the unity of discipleship. Be assured that God is with you, and in him and all the promises and gifts of God are yours. May you do all things through Christ, who gives you strength. Are you ready? Do you believe that you have been saved from your sins through faith in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you trust in him as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you seek to do God's will and serve him in fellowship with other believers in the church? And will you promise to make every effort to attend regularly Sunday worship and observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper?
With God's help, I will.
Will you seek to be a witness for Christ so that others may be brought into the kingdom?
With God's help, I will.
Will you be faithful to God through prayer and meditation on his word?
With God's help, I will.
And then in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive and welcome you to membership of this church, to share in its privileges and responsibilities. And now Nigel and I will give you the right hand of fellowship. You know I'm going to come in for her.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Those lovely words from Numbers, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Amen. Please, after the service, welcome Marjorie when you have coffee. Thank you. Bless you. And we did find the words to Marjorie's hymn. They were in at least three hymn books. I found them in Hymns and Psalms. And we have the music from the lovely Joe, and so we're going to make our best effort to sing your hymn for you, maybe not quite in the way that you heard it all those years ago. So let's stand and sing. The words are only on the screen. This is the God that we adore. Not a bad effort. It's wonderful, isn't it, as you hear those words and trust him for all that is to come. And that's kind of what we're thinking about today, thinking about God's kingdom to come, but also living as in God's as kingdom people today. And in Luke chapter 11, we read that one of Jesus' disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And it's there that they acknowledge Jesus as their teacher, because they go on to say, as John taught his disciples. And in Matthew 6, we have an extended version of that teaching. So if you'd all turn to page 970 in your Bibles, and it's headed up prayer. We're going to read from verses 5 to 15, but we're going to kind of do it together. So I'm going to read verses 5 to 9a, and then I'll invite you to join in, and then I'll finish. So it could go well. So Matthew 6 on page 970. All right? 7-0. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And so we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Just pause. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And now you know why we didn't say the Lord's Prayer after I prayed earlier. But the Lord's Prayer, as we know it, is something on which we can model our own prayers. And we've only done the first three lines in our Bible study. But already, I don't know about you, but I feel like my mind's been blown by the possibilities of how we can actually pray and enhance our prayer life. We see how Christ now models the importance of submission to God's will and speaking to him in a way that will acknowledge it. Praying for what God wants to happen is to accept that his plan is right and good for everyone. Jesus implies that this includes all possible times and places. He's praying for the coming of God's kingdom and the fulfillment of his will in all places and all times. And so to pray this in sincerity is to ask God for everything Jesus was going to accomplish, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth at some point in the future. And God's power is unleashed when we pray with urgency and conviction, Thy kingdom come. And so as we think about those words a bit more, we'll sing number 590, Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, as we sung those words, seek first thy kingdom, we just pray now, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to understand what it truly means to pray thy kingdom come. Lord, you say, ask and it shall be given. And so we come in expectancy to hear your word to each one of us. Amen. Are you all right there? As I was reading the words, and I've obviously read them a lot this week through Bible study and through this morning's service, and I was thinking as Jesus was talking to his disciples, because you know how I like to put myself in the vicinity, not necessarily in the inner circle, but sometimes just listening in like a fly on a wall. And I was thinking, isn't it humbling but also amazing to consider that God advances his kingdom plan through the power, the prayers of his people. He doesn't just carry on doing what he's doing, doing his God stuff without us. He actually invites us to join in. Jesus instructs his disciples to pray for the kingdom to come. And the coming kingdom is that continuous burden that we as God's people have as we pray. For those who love the Lord eagerly desire for his kingdom to come. Because we have it in our minds, don't we, that when God's kingdom come, everything that we're looking at and out on the world will just disappear. It will be no more. And so we do pray eagerly, thy kingdom come. But also we need to recognize that we have to live as kingdom people now. The Lord's Prayer, as I've said before, as we recognize it, we can just say it as a habit. We can expect it to be in the same place in the service every week, and then the minister moves it. It can become repetition, can't it? We just say it, you know, because most of us probably learnt it while we were at school. And if we don't have that true petition of our heart, but if we look at it differently, it can become a divine force unleashing God's glorious blessing. In our studies, we were reminded that God has given us a weapon with which to fight the evil one. Satan, devil, call him what you like, the powers of darkness. And that is prayer. Every time a believer prays, thy kingdom come, the forces of darkness are shaken. And we know we'll ultimately be defeated when Jesus returns. We can pray, thy kingdom come, without any respect for the intent of Jesus. Or we can pray, thy kingdom come, and the world itself begins to change. I know which side I'd rather be on. That's the power for daily living that I am looking for. And I hope that you too are looking to change the world from the inside out. But how is thy kingdom come a prayer that literally changes the world? Our citizenship in God's kingdom entitles us and enables us to pray those words. And when uttered with sincerity and trust, these words spell out, every time they are spoken, the ultimate triumph of the kingdom of God. We find reassurance that all will be well as our lives are in God's loving hands. Obviously, we have to acknowledge, as we do, that there have been trials as well as blessings in our past and now in our present. And we know that we'll face more challenges in our future. But how awesome it is to remember that our God is unchanging. Although it can be hard to trust him when we are experiencing dark times, we need to cling on to the fact that his love is as great as his power. He will bring his people through. That's his promise to each of us who call on him as Lord and Saviour. So what does it mean to pray, thy kingdom come? We thought about many definitions during our studies. but someone described the kingdom as God's people in God's place under God's rule. Quite like that. Simple for my little brain. God's people in God's place under God's rule. And what a helpful way then to be able to orientate our prayers. This kingdom has a physical and a spiritual aspect to it. There's a powerful desire to return securely to Eden, where God is rightly honored and his people are blessed with unhindered access to God and all that he has to bless us with. Remember, if you read our Bibles, and I always say, read the whole story, not just the bits that you like. God's story starts in a garden and ends in a garden and has a garden in the middle, the Garden of Gethsemane. Through our prayers, aided by the Holy Spirit, we can catch a glimpse of God's coming kingdom advancing on the horizon. For every second that I'm speaking, God's kingdom's getting nearer. Don't you dare pray, thy kingdom come now. But we can echo the call, can't we? Come, Lord Jesus, bring your kingdom here. When we pray, your kingdom come, there's that real sense of yearning and faithfulness. We are anticipating the coming kingdom, participating with God's plan, and that we would love the King himself. Those who love the Lord eagerly yearn for his kingdom. There's also a condemning word, because we cannot cry, thy kingdom come, while promoting our own kingdom, our own agendas. Sin is an expression of unfaithfulness to the Lord and promotes self. Therefore, the cry of devotion is also a cry of repentance. We want the kingdom to come in the world around us and also in us. Praying these words means asking our Heavenly Father to help us in our own lives, to be faithful, to be obedient, to be authentic and effective believers. And so we are to use these words against the kingdom of Satan. Jesus is teaching his followers to pray for the overthrow of the kingdom of this world, where, as we can see, we don't have to look very far, that the evil one has his reign. We pray for the institution of a new rule, that of the kingdom of God. We read about the kingdom of Satan throughout the Bible. He is the spiritual king of this world now. Scripture calls him the God of this world, if you look in 2 Corinthians. He has a ruling seat, not for much longer. His kingdom is darkness. We know that he took his ground in Genesis 3, and he has established his dominion by invading our minds and our hearts. But when we pray for the kingdom of God to come, we are pleading for the kingdom of Satan to be defeated. And praise God, through his word, we know that it is only a matter of time, because on the cross, the kingdom of God burst into the world with a head-crushing blow to the devil. It says in Colossians, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them through Jesus. John warns us in his letter, do not love the world of the things in the world, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Just a massive sentence to just get hold of in our own heads. By making a stand, by being faithful, we can pray with more urgency, your kingdom come, your will be done. As we wait for the full comprehension of that inaugurated kingdom, we cry for the kingdom to come and to conquer souls. We know from Scripture that God wants all sinners to be saved. That's why the door's still open. That's why God is waiting patiently. that all would know him. So in Christ's model for prayer, we have confirmation that intercessory prayer for the salvation of souls is a worthwhile endeavour. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we have turned our hearts from upon God and towards ourselves and our pleasures. That's why the world is in such a mess today. God's kingdom will expand as more people turn to him for their salvation. They enter the kingdom when they come to know the crucified king of that kingdom. They come to him and the kingdom expands as we know the resurrected king of that kingdom. And people need the gospel now more than ever. When God awakens a person to behold the glory of Christ, he conquers their rebellious hearts and makes them his. Those who formerly would not give Christ honour but pledged allegiance to another are brought into the kingdom of Christ. When we pray for the kingdom of God to come, we are praying that God will shine the kingdom of grace upon the hearts of all people so that they will see and taste the kingdom of glory. We know that God can do this and delights to do it because he's already done it within those of us who call Christ our Lord and Saviour. As believers in Jesus, we acknowledge God as our King. Praying thy kingdom come means we desire for his sovereign rule over lives here on this earth as we submit to his authority and yield to his control in every aspect of our existence. Likewise, praying those words mean we earnestly yearn for God's reign to be established throughout the whole earth and over every human being. We pray thy kingdom come so that God's sovereign rule will come now and in the future in its fullness and its permanence. Jesus showed us what life on earth could be like if God's will were done on earth as it is in heaven. So part of what we do as church, part of what churches do internationally, nationally, community-wise, is to provide a glimpse of the kingdom in the way we influence our community and our society at large. Do others see that we love justice, that we seek kindness and love mercy, that we treasure relationships, well-being, obedience and true worship of Jesus Christ our Lord? We must use our influence whenever we can to bring about kingdom conditions in people's lives in the now. But we should also pray for the not yet, the physical coming of God's kingdom. So pray for the kingdom to spread, for maturity in believers, for God's will to be done on earth, and for Jesus to return to establish his kingdom on earth. To echo the words of our study on this week, oh, that we would become so preoccupied with the kingdom of God that it would affect every part of our being, our thinking, our working, and our praying. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we've just heard your words to us, I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with more of your heart's desire so that we would focus our attentions more on you and less on ourselves, so that your kingdom would become a reality on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, only you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, can affect every part of our being, our thinking, our working, and our praying. So, Lord, we commit to surrendering to you more and more each day. Amen. And so, as we prepare our hearts to gather around our Lord's table, let's sing number 25. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Mm-hmm.
as we're able to sing those words, as we encounter God in our lives, glory, glory to his name. And we read in the Bible that when people encountered the God firsthand, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so we come in expectation, we come around his table in hope, because God's banquet is coming. The time we await when all will gather from every corner of the world. A banquet where the rich and powerful will sit with the broken and the poverty-stricken. A table where young and old will learn from each other. A time when all will sit together in peace. And as we read, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Here at this table, we get a foretaste of God's banquet. This is indeed God's table, not the church's. And so all who seek to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, are welcome to eat and drink from it. Come and taste the grace eternal. Come and see that God is good. Let's pray. God of hope, whose Son Jesus Christ proclaimed the kingdom and restored the broken to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the distress of this world, and by your healing power, make whole both people and nations through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Blessings be to you, Creator God, who in the beginning brought light and life to the world, and who continues to bring it love and light everlasting. Your song of wisdom echoes through the ages. Your ancient promise still brings us hope. Over the ages, you have called people to embrace your hope and share your love. But even when they have closed their ears to the song, you did not stop singing. You sent prophets and messengers to your people, reminding them of the promised time of peace and justice that will surround the world when your kingdom comes. They came in the midst of our despair and filled us with hope. We thank you, Lord, that through coming to that young woman, Mary, and laying out the promise in a new way, promising her a son who would be called Jesus, promising her that in her son the world would be changed and your kingdom be established for eternity. We look forward to the time when he will come again forever. Hallelujah. And so we take in this time a moment to think about our own lives. We invite your Holy Spirit to search us, to show us perhaps the ways that we've been unkind, the way that we have said things that we shouldn't have said, the way that we have not followed your kingdom promises. Heavenly Father, we confess our doubts and our fears and our sorrow. And we seek your forgiveness. We praise you, Lord, for cleansing us from all sin. Remembering your world, O God, loved by Christ and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Bring us into wholeness. Bring us into love. Bring us into peace. Amen. And so as we pray those words, thy kingdom come, we remember how Jesus broke the bonds of human tradition to show all what the banquet of hope could be as he ate openly with the despised and the outcasts of this world. And we remember that one special meal, foretaste of the banquet that is to come, that he ate with his closest friends, gathering them together in an upper room to share the story of freedom. He prepared them for freedom. And at the end of the meal, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And then he passed it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is the body of life broken by the world. Eat it in remembrance and in hope." After that, he took the cup and he blessed it and passed it to them, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant. Whenever you drink it, remember me, for I shall not eat or drink again until the time of that heavenly banquet." We remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the borrowed room. We remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. We remember how he poured out his love on all that he'd met, and we look forward to his return, his kingdom, and the coming reign of peace and of love and of justice. So we continue in prayer. Remembering Jesus' love, death, and resurrection, we offer to you, gracious God, this bread and this cup. Thankful that you have invited us into this intimate, everlasting, ever-loving relationship. God of grace, sometimes discipleship is so difficult. We see you standing in front of us and we look for glory. And then you tell us to expect heartbreak and challenge. We get a glimpse of your glory and we are confused, frightened, unsure what to do or to say. God of grace, make known in Jesus Christ, in the challenge and in the glory, you call us to look towards you, to listen to you. Grant us the grace and wisdom to watch, to listen, to follow, to learn, and in the end to understand as we join you on the way, as we explore the glorious kingdom in this holy moment, in this bread and cup. May we be reminded that Christ is with us. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and eat. The banquet awaits. The bread that we break is the bread of life, and that life is the hope of the world. As you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your own individual response to God, the body of Christ given for you. As you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in the family of God. The cup we share is the cup of promise. We drink together the cup of the gospel, the promise of his kingdom, of now and not yet, which is good news to all who would receive him. So we drink the blood of Christ given for you. Amen. Let's pray. God of kingdom promise, God of childlike hope, we have eaten and drunk from your table. May the eating and the drinking fill us with hope in a world of fear and despair. May your kingdom come. May we be beacons of hope as we wait for the day when the world will finally be changed forever. In the meantime, grant that this taste of your banquet, which is to come, would give us the hunger for peace and justice in our community and around the world. Let us hold fast to the name of Christ and be faithful until that day when he comes again and every knee shall bow. Amen. And so as our Lord invites us into his kingdom work, let's join together and sing number 33, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood?"
Thank you.
Praise God. May the love of God be the passion in your heart, the joy of God your strength when times are hard, the presence of God a peace that overflows, the word of God the seed that you might sow. Be blessed as you leave. Keep the song singing. Amen.
Recording stopped.